Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. Okay, today we're speaking with Gene Barlow, who, if you have any history with user groups, you could certainly call him the godfather of APCUG and possibly the father of the IBM PC user group. Gene, how did you first get involved with user groups?
Oh boy, that goes back a long ways. I guess in the late 70s, I was bought my first microcomputer. It was an Apple II, and ended up joining a user group, an Apple user group in Cupertino, California, and became the president of that group at one point in time. And later, when the IBM PC was announced, I got involved in the early preparations for that device and was moved by IBM to Boca Raton, Florida, to manage their user group program with the introduction of the IBM PC. So that's sort of the history of how I got involved.
I asked Raleigh Cole, who was the first president of APCUG, about the early days, and he said we should be sure to ask about the very early days when IBM and you sponsored a meeting back in 1986 and a meeting in 1989 when IBM came back. Do you remember any of that, those early meetings?
Well, the APCUG was... Well, let's see. Oh, this was the first meeting. I was approached by Jerry Schneider, and he and the HAL PC group and the Boston Computer Society were planning to have what they called a user group summit meeting at the next COMDEX. And he, Jerry asked me if IBM would be willing to find a room for them to meet and provide some refreshments, which I did. I guess that was officially the first summit meeting at COMDEX that we held. And then later I was involved in sponsoring, I should say IBM was involved in sponsoring most of the weekend events for the APCUG.
What do you remember about APCUG founder Jerry Schneider?
Oh, I still remember a lot about Jerry. He and I were great friends, and I miss seeing him regularly at the meetings. Jerry is a fantastic individual, was concerned about end users, had excellent technical skills. He was a consultant and knew the industry, knew the products well, and... I miss Jerry very much.
Judy Brown, who was one of the early presidents of APCUG, mentioned a fun visit to the International Computer Forum in Moscow. In fact, she has a picture of you in a Russian hat that we're going to scan and put up on the website here. What can you tell us about that trip?
Well, we had, in those early days, we had some user groups in Russia that joined the APCUG. And they held a conference there in Moscow, and Jerry Schneider and Judy Brown and myself and another lady from Judy's local user group all went to Russia and attended this event, and we were guest speakers at some of their activities, and wow, what a interesting time that was. It was... years ago, I'd almost forgotten about that, but an amazing time.
Besides the strong support that you and your IBM program had for user groups in general, in specific, and APCUG in specific, you were a strong supporter of regional user group meetings. Why are regional events important?
Well, I think that regional events are one of the key activities beyond the local area that user group members can become involved in. A lot of folks were not able to go all the way to Las Vegas to attend the national event, And so by having regional events set up in their localities that they could easily get to, we could reach a lot more of the officers, a lot more of the end users, the members of the groups. And I think they're still very key in getting that grassroots information up from the individual groups up through the organization.
Some of the events that you sponsored with APCUG were just incredible. To me, one that stands out was in Chicago, a Spring Comdex, where I remember a huge IBM ice sculpture, and I think it was Lee Reiswick who spoke. Are there any events that in your tenure there that really stand out that you remember?
You've got to remember that we went through maybe 15, 20 years of events, and two a year, one in spring, typically in Atlanta, but one time was in Chicago. And at other times, the fall Comdex was always in Las Vegas. But we had some tremendous speakers that we would arrange, IBM executives. We would work with and get there. John Thompson, who is current CEO of Semantic Corporation, was a speaker at one of our IBM events. He was a vice president of IBM at that point in time, and a gentleman that I reported to. So we had a lot of good folks that came out and participated in those events.
Tell us a little about the Team OS2 phenomenon and how user groups may have played a part in that. That was so popular for a while, and I know Judy Lococo has some great stories about marching into events with their Team OS2 shirts.
Well, OS2 came about and became a factor to get a lot of enthusiasm and spirit going. And actually, a friend of mine, Dave Whittle, was the original founder of Team OS2. And he worked in an organization near my user group organization within IBM. And his was a group of volunteers primarily that would go out and do individual things to assist in the marketing and implementation of OS2 in users on users' machines and at conventions and Comdex events and things like that. A lot of these Team OS2s later formed into local chapters, and at that point I considered them as local user groups, and we registered them and under the user group program and supported them in that area as well. But they were really initially a separate organization or a separate effort outside of the user group community.
Obviously, things have changed in the industry and the user group world in the last 5, 10, 15 years. How have you seen them evolve? How are they still relevant? Are they still valuable? What's their role in the current society?
Well, this is a little hard to assess. There are changes going on. I think the internet has become so widely available that information flow, which was one of the early purposes of user groups, is no longer as important as it was before. What we are seeing, though, is an influx of the older generation of folks that did not have a lot of experience with the personal computers in their careers, now finding time on their hands as retirees, becoming very excited about personal computers and what they can do with them. And so the user groups that are in retirement communities and in areas like Nevada or Arizona and Florida, where you have a large retiree population, are growing in leaps and bounds. On the other hand, you're finding the more typical user group membership is dwindling in some cases. So it's just an evolution, I think, of the way user groups are being perceived and used. And they still have a lot of value and importance, but they are taking a different role than they did a few years ago.
We're actually recording this today after a presentation at the Greater Cleveland PC Users Group where you and your lovely wife Linda just made an outstanding presentation. Tell us about user group relations and what you're doing now.
Well, when I retired from IBM in the late mid-90s, it was about 1996, I was concerned about no longer being able to see all my thousands of user group friends. And so decided that we would start our own little consulting business and find some sponsors and go out and continue to visit user groups. And we were fortunate enough to be able to do that. And User Group Relations is the name of my consulting firm. And we have 5, 6, 7, 8 sponsors at the current time, and maybe 15 or 20 different products. And it's exciting for us to be able to share information about the technology with our user group friends on an ongoing basis.
If you had a magic wand or three wishes or something like that, what changes would you like to see in user groups in APCUG? That's a tough question, but...
Oh boy, that is a tough question. I'd like to see the APCUG become more regionalized. I think they need to put more emphasis on the regional organizations and the regional activities and de-emphasize some of the national activities. I think if they can build strong regional activities, and that will just naturally flow to the national level. We're no longer at the point where the APCUG can rely on a lot of vendors with deep pockets being willing to spill money out to them. I think they need to look at the price of their services to the vendors, because a lot of us vendors today are small and can hardly afford doing what we're doing, much less spending large sponsorship fees for the APCUG. So they need to sort of look at their budgets and keep their expenses down. A little bit back to basics, I think, is probably the recommendation in that area. Let's see, what was there? There seemed to be more than one part to that question, but that's sort of the one I was focusing on.
You've got undoubtedly thousands of friends out there and people who are interested in you, and many of us know that a few years ago you had some health issues. How are you feeling now? How are things?
Well, let's see, in 1993 I had a heart attack. It was a very minor one, and they were able to fix it without any major surgery, just a plastic balloon that opened up the heart, and it lasted for about 10 years. And last November I went back in and had stents put in my heart again to open up some partial closures. In general, I'm feeling great and really love what I'm doing. Getting a little tired of all the traveling, but it gives me a chance to see a lot of my friends, and that's what really makes me happy.
I have to ask before we wrap up, for a while it seemed you had a supply of, I think they were Warner Brothers shirts. Is there a story behind that?
Well, actually, Jerry Snyder got me started on the Looney Tune Warner Brothers Disney shirts, and Jerry and I used to wear them to the user group events just as a novelty item, and we'd sort of try to outdo each other. And I ended up with a collection of, I don't know, 8 or 10 of these shirts, and they became such a trademark that everywhere I went they would ask me, where's my Looney Tunes shirts or my cartoon shirts? So I wore them for years. They no longer make them. And I've tried to find them. I suppose I could find some old ones on eBay, but they're no longer available, and my shirts were getting a bit frayed. So about a year ago, I retired them. They're safely packed up in my clothes drawer at home, and I may revive them at some point in time in the future for some event.
For those of you who are listening who may not have the history of APCUG, some of us, be sure to listen to some of the other podcasts from Judy Lococo and Raleigh Cole and Judy Brown some, because they all have some great stories about Gene and the early days. And for those of you who don't know, there is a very strong case to be made that if it hadn't been for Gene Barlow, the APCUG we've known over the years would be just a mere fraction of what it turned out to be. So his designation as a godfather of APCUG and as the father of the IBM PC Users Group is well deserved. So we've been talking with Gene Barlow today. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon, www.magnuminc.com.